This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You are a member of your household, but only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Howdy.
Howdy, so... So maybe you thought we'd talk about the ice storm that we didn't expect. And, of course, we'll rake the weather guy over the coals for that in a second.
Good.
Nice quarter inch of ice. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. There you go. And
hello.
How's that?
Yeah, they blew it, didn't they, yesterday? They blew the whole thing.
We got that. We've got Roger versus the other guy. But something today to start the show.
Yeah.
You're going to love.
Oh, good.
Chris Berman will not stop giving. On the heels of Chris Berman's rave out F-bomb Jesus tape.
Yeah, baby.
Here's another tape from halftime of Monday Night Football.
Oh. All right.
From a couple of years ago.
Is this him getting angry again?
Oh, no. No, it's Chris Berman discussing how he likes going to Toronto to cover Toronto Blue Jays games because you can buy codeine with number two.
And really? You mean Tylenol number two?
Yeah, and you can
with codeine,
and you can buy it in the bottle that has 250.
Wow,
he loves his pills.
Yes. How about that?
Anyway, here he is off mic. Well, on mic, but he didn't know it was on.
Right,
Chris Berman.
Understand? Tonight is awful in here. It's gonna be terrible. Awful. No, it's already awful.
Worst ever.
I saw this on the schedule. Jets during the Christmas holiday. I took four. Is at 6 o'clock, knowing what this would be.
Now, just to hip you to this, what he's saying is,
Tylenol,
yes,
number twos.
He took four Tylenol number twos with codeine,
right?
Because he knew it was going to be a dog game.
Wow!
But you got to hear the whole thing. And here's explanation. It's great.
You know what a is.
He does keep giving.
He does. He don't stop, does he? Excuse me. Here we go.
Understand, tonight is awful in here.
It's going to be terrible.
Awful. No, it's already awful.
Worst ever.
I saw this on the schedule. Jets during the Christmas holiday. I took four duh-duh-duhs at 6 o'clock, knowing what this would be. You know what a duh-duh-duh is? It's Canadian aspirin. With a little bit of codeine in it, you know, just enough to give you that pop.
Oh.
Two, two, twos. Duh. Huh. I mean, you buy it over the counter up there, you can't hear. It's like $10 up there, but it's like $100 prescription here. So you put it in all the corners of your suitcase. Do you have anything to declare? Oh, no.
Wow.
Eh?
Duh.
You always hope to have one Blue Jay game a year. You go to the Canadian CVS. It's funny. You have those bottles, 250, you know, count of 222s? Yes, here they are. I'll take four of them. And they go, they always go, from the States, eh?
Yeah.
You never take duh-duh-duhs? Not just a little drop. Little 8% Cody never hurt anybody.
No,
I know exactly what this night is. I've looked at this one for 6 weeks. We ready to go?
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Al.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
How grand is that?
You know, the one thing that's not answered in there, what's his malady?
Hello!
He's Chris.
I think he's... He's just bored. He's using it to get off. He's saying it's a boring
game.
It's
just a dull game, so he's doing it to get high.
So he's taking some codeine.
It was the Jets at Christmas time. He said, I saw in the schedule this was going to suck. But codeine doesn't give you pop, does it, Buzz?
I wouldn't think so. Maybe it does for him.
So I took my duh-duh-duh-duh.
It's like having a drink.
Yeah.
It's probably like having four drinks during a game.
It takes the edge off if you take four.
Right. Makes me constipated. Me no like it.
Makes you impacted, right?
Hey, Regis Philbin, what do you like?
I guess the word is anal.
Anal.
Oh, wow.
And how do you sound when you're doing that? Ooh. Oh, yeah. So just to make sure, Regis Philbin, you like...
I guess the word is anal.
What you doing? And what happens after that?
So you hung over... Doing.
Regis, what did you say is the word that best describes what you like to do, you know, at night?
I guess the word is anal.
Wow. I'm not happy.
I know you're not, Joy. I wouldn't be happy with that either.
I thought it was terrible. Honestly.
Honestly.
I guess the word is anal.
Oh, my Regis.
Let's pick a phone and let's call that hotline today.
Oh, here's our phone number.
You can call Don and Mike anytime. From anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All day.
Mommy boobies.
Every day.
You're awful funny, aren't you?
Yeah, we tried.
That was funny.
I guess the word is anal.
Anal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting it in his mouth.
Yeah, baby.
That is so true, Dick.
All right. A little quiet for Super Josh.
You got it.
Looks like baby for me.
Do stop that, please. What glorious goo. Express yourself. I have to say hi to Buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Hi there, Buzz.
Nice. Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
How did you get herpes, Regis?
I guess the word is anal.
Well, what have we here?
Ah, jolly.
So good.
Very good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, baby.
Welcome. How are you anyway, Don and Mike show? And it's Wednesday. Phone number same as it was yesterday. 877-365-3636. Yeah. Express yourself. Hi, Don and Mike show. What's happening?
Hi, right, I'll tell you exactly why the 222s give you a pop.
Why do the 222s give us a pop?
They are formulated for a very effective hangover remedy. They include caffeine, codeine, and Tylenol.
So it's caffeine, codeine, and Tylenol.
The magic mix, yes. Yeah. It will get you through your early morning better than coffee.
Well, he's talking about taking four of them before he has to broadcast a New York Jets game on Christmas.
Does he say aspirin or Tylenol?
Well, he says aspirin, but I think he meant
He
Tylenol.
Says Canadian aspirin.
Yeah, Canadian aspirin.
I'm not sure. We called them Canadian aspirin in college.
You took Canadian aspirin in college?
Well, actually, after college, you know, you go out with your drinking buddies, and every Wednesday night you see the band and close the bar, and you've been drinking pitchers of Labatt's, and you have to go to work in the morning.
He mentions the definite Canadian brew. They love their... Hey, Labatt's is good stuff. I like Labatt's.
Hey, pills is something that... I don't know, Jackson.
What do you think, Jackson?
I don't know. I've had enough maladies where I've had pills offered, and after a while, it's just like, blah.
You know, it just seems to me if you're taking a painkiller with codeine and caffeine, it might confuse your body.
Some people have a reaction. Last week, or was it the week before that, when Janet had her neck thing and she was in that neck brace,
right.
She was taking oxycodone.
Right.
And... I swear to Christ, for about 4 days, it was seriously like someone else was living in the house with
me. Wow, right.
And it was because it's whatever the reaction was to this.
Well, I mean, they're affecting the brain.
What did she say to you about it? Didn't she say something to you?
She said it was like another person was living in her body. She felt like a witch.
I
couldn't possibly imagine that.
She felt that way because I said that to her one day. I said, we were sitting having a conversation. Just about nothing, and all of a sudden, this different woman jumped out, and I said, it was, now don't take offense, it was like a witchy, bitchy lady that jumped out.
Right.
And it was only like 2 days later where she said, oh, Christ, you're right, it was the pills.
She should have taken the one that just slows you down, makes you kind of tired, a little sluggish, a little slow-witted oxymorons.
Joe.
I was on a lot of oxycodone after my vasectomy.
Right.
And I guess if you mix it with beer, you don't get all uptight.
I get so confused with the OxyContin that it's oxycodone.
Oxycodone.
Then it's hydrocodone.
Right.
Which is Vicodin.
That's Vicodin. Right. It's hard to keep up with.
Yeah, it is.
But you said the magic word about constipation. If you live on that stuff for a few days, nothing.
Yeah. I know when I've had like a sprained wrist or a broken bone or something, they'd give you that Tylenol number 2 with codeine, and it would be like just an invitation to your colon to shut down for 2 days.
And wow. When you have a vasectomy, you're encouraged not to strain or bear down.
Now, right. Vicodin is the hydrocodone.
Right.
And there was one when I had the horrible back trouble, I remember a spring training baseball game, a series of them, where I medicated with hydrocodone and Bud Light.
Yeah. Excellent.
And then afterwards, I really did get probably the most debilitating migraine I've ever gotten in my life.
As I told everybody today at Congress, I have personally injected Mike in the buttocks, mm-hmm. Buzz,
thank you,
Rob,
thank
and they you. Have seen me try to inject myself in the buttocks as well.
Well, there was that one time that Don and I were at Jose Canseco's party. And,
the barbecue.
Yeah. Don injected me, and I bled right through my dress pants.
You know I wasn't there.
Right.
You know that later it was reported that my son was there and my girlfriend was there.
I was there watching Bart. I was wearing a bikini.
Hey, when I called Rob...
You were my nanny.
I was your nanny.
When I called Rob to testify, I was doing you a favor. I was doing you a favor. Man, I don't know what to think about this crap.
We're going to seg into this Roger Clemens thing.
It's all over the news today. Probably one of the most curious congressional hearings I've ever seen.
It's maybe the greatest TV show ever. And you had to catch the first episode today where the pig-nosed guy... That's running the hearings.
Right. Henry Waxman.
Right. He's got Roger Clemens, who really, honestly, for goodness sakes.
What not?
If he says one more time, well, here's the average question. Roger, do you think that Andy Pettit is a liar?
No, I don't.
Do you think that Andy Pettit is a good man?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Yesterday, Andy Pettit said that you told him you take HGH. He must misremember.
Misremembered.
Now, as far as I know, misremember was a chick that I used to date.
I mean, misremember.
Misremember is kind of like, you know, whatnot. Misremember.
Is misremember, I've never heard it before. I swear to God, this was the first day. Is that a word in the English language?
Let's find out.
Because it's sure, maybe it's because it's coming out of Roger Clemens, but
it sure do sound uneducated,
yeah,
don't it?
It doesn't sound like don't a real it? Word, misremember.
Yeah, sure. Apparently it is.
If you don't have education, then you can't hardly get a job.
Because he was coached on it, so I'm sure it was a real word.
My God.
Didn't it sound kind of like, it did, sounded like the WN word, whatnot.
I was on the phone with Mike, and we were back and forth about this. Like,
it was amazing. It was really, it was history making, really.
Yeah. And they gave him the opportunity. Especially the first dude that turned the pressure on by saying to Clemens over and over again, remember, you're under oath. You know, I'm waiting for him to crack and just say, you know what?
Yeah, and Henry Waxman's setup, I thought, if he was going to crack, he was going to crack there, but no, not a chance.
To say, listen, I did it, I lied about it, let's move past it. No, he's belligerent, mm-hmm. He is digging his heels in, mm-hmm. They're coming at him with facts.
He's good.
They're coming at him with facts that just don't make sense, like, well, how could you say that you never heard about HGH when you admit that you talked about your wife taking HGH in 2005? And the answer again is, well, misremember.
Yeah. And you know what it comes down to, really, and I look at it as a court of law situation. I really do believe if this was a court of law, it's a he said, he said. There's just no way there are no eyewitnesses that have seen Roger Clemens put this in his butt. But all of this side evidence that points to it, like, for example, the little mass that he got, the boil on his butt that he got from taking the steroid. And that was, you know, they had doctors saying, well, really, a B12 shot wouldn't cause that in 1,000 cases, but a steroid shot would probably cause it right away.
Wow.
And then you've got, you know, the evidence. What the only evidence that we're going to get when they analyze it, and I'll be curious how they break it down, will be the DNA evidence. If indeed that is credible, we'll have to see what happens with that.
Did you hear when they were busting the one guy's balls, the rat's balls, saying, well, why would you hold on to this stuff from Clemens? Mm-hmm. And he really had it for Knobloch, too.
Yeah.
That you know, he thought maybe either of these guys might rat out on him.
Right. And I'd love to see what the result of that will be, because you don't know at this stage of the game whether that is going to be credible physical evidence that the guy's got. But the congressman, really, and with, you know, with all due respect to the United States congressman.
With no respect. Nobody.
Let me tell you something. These guys, you can tell the guys that have been star-effed the guys that haven't been. And you know what? And what was weird, at a certain point, it almost looked like it was breaking down along party lines, and that didn't make any sense to me either.
I just have to say, I only found one moment great. Anytime Eleanor
Holmes-Norton.
Anytime,
oh, God, she is so boxed.
Anytime she's on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you thought
baby.
You were on Spice, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I thought I was. Yes, right. I thought I was on Channel 599.
Well, Ms. Norton, with all due respect to you, too, please get the name of the Whitney. You got two witnesses up there.
No, listen,
you know, get the names right,
Mike. Hold on. No respect to any of those people.
Right.
First, seriously, what does Congress care? Okay, at this point, but now that you're into it,
well, what the hell are they doing? Is what I want. I mean, what are they accomplishing today?
Well, Eleanor said he's going to heaven, so I learned that.
Right. Why don't we just play the lie detector game? Why don't we put these two people on that Fox show? And
I was thinking about lie detector right before the show. As far as why don't they submit to a lie detector test? Because really, there are no other witnesses.
Because at this point, you've got these two guys with the one intermediate who looks to me like Mr. Bean,
right?
And his only job sitting between Roger Clemens and the other guy and McNamee is to make faces at them.
Right.
Okay. So you, in essence, have McNamee saying, I definitely injected him with HGH. And they go, what do you think about that, Clemens? And he goes, well, that never happened. So how are you going to prove it?
Right. Yeah, it's impossible. But a lie detector would go a long way. Has anybody mentioned that as far as suggesting
Fox
that
Fox mentioned it 2 weeks ago, remember?
Offered $1 million, I think.
Yeah. After watching it, and it was gripping, but it was kind of like a detective movie because at times I forgot who was arguing what point.
Yeah,
I never stopped enjoying it.
It was a little convoluted. It really was.
I think they've both got to be lying to some degree.
Well, what makes you think McNamee's lying?
He seems shifty.
Yeah, but
I don't care for his
way. Yeah, but that's what they've got against him. He seems shifty, but... Mm-hmm. I'm talking about when a guy seems shifty, then you immediately say, well, what's the motivation?
Look at the body language on the rat. The rat's sitting there, and he's like, okay, let it happen. They're busting his balls going, did you lie about this? Yes. Did you lie about this? Yes. Why'd you lie? Well, I was helping to help
these
players.
There's no reason. There's no credible reason.
He's admitted all of his lies.
He has admitted
all
the stuff that he's done. But he's got nothing to go to the mat for. Clemens has everything to go to the mat for.
It just seems to me that the truth has to lie somewhere in the middle because they are so diametrically opposed.
No disagree. Way. It's either one guy or the other guy. There's no gray
where
area
would
here.
There would be no middle ground. I mean, you either took them. That's like being kind of pregnant. You either took the steroids or you didn't. And I think that really.
Then let me restate it. I just hate them both.
What did you say to me during our one conversation when I know how you put it. You gave a poker term. He's all in.
Yeah,
Clemens is all in right
at one
now.
Point, Clemens really just looked towards all of them and said, everything. I stand behind everything I said. I don't care how crazy this sounds. Mm-hmm. This is the truth. And incidentally, I could pull the truck with my teeth if I was on steroids.
You all understand who I am? I did. And once again, when they got back to the nanny gate thing, he was saying, I tried to get in touch with her to do you all a favor. He's all about that. He's done an awful lot. If you listen to his testimony... There, he has been. He's been a saint.
He's
Saint Roger. He's a forgiving man. He's a good man. He's too nice to people.
If you didn't catch this, here's the Reader's Digest for the compressed version.
Mm-hmm.
So they make a big rigmarole about saying that Roger Clemens was at Jose Canseco's house for a party.
Okay.
They get a statement from Jose Canseco saying, "I swear to God, the guy was not there." They go on and on. They trap Clemens in this. Then they get a sworn statements from other people saying Clemens' wife was there.
Mm-hmm.
His kids were there. They were there with the nanny, and they'd like to see the nanny. They'd like to talk to the nanny. Well, as it turns out, on Friday they said they wanted to talk to the nanny. And Roger Clemens and his people, according to them, found her on Sunday, but flew her to Houston first so they could have a good sit-down with her before they turned her over to everybody else.
Sure.
And that doesn't make any sense unless you're trying to tamper with a witness.
And when they bust his balls about it, they say, Roger, why did you fly her down to Houston?
She's a sweet lady.
He says, I'm just trying to do you guys a favor.
Do you a favor, you know, and get in touch with her and track her down and make sure she gets to testify to you guys via Houston.
And
what they really need is a panel of disc jockeys.
Right.
Guys who know how to lie. Guys who have been caught with their teat in the ringer before.
Sure.
Guys who can size it up immediately and just say, no, Clemens, you're lying. I mean, this is it. You're looking in a mirror of your peers.
Right.
And we all realize that when you say Andy Pettit is misremembering.
Right. And the thing is,
that's crap.
It gets back to the original motivation with me.
Misremembering.
You know, you've got a guy that's, you know, and they were very, some of the congressmen actually addressed this. You know, were you, you know, when did you testify to the Mitchell report? When did it go south with Roger Clemens? Because that speaks to the disgruntled employee argument, and he wasn't. He made this, you know, he did this testifying and refused to give information until they really had to, you know, pound it out of him a little bit. And then finally he said it, and he didn't want to do that. He was not disgruntled. And you got Chuck Knoblauch and you got Andy Pettit, too. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at those facts. Why would the guy lie? And I don't think he did in this particular. Now, do I think the guy's a scumbag? I think the guy's an absolute scumbag.
The rat?
Yeah, me too. Rat, he is a rat.
He's, I believe him, though.
But he was part of the whole conspiracy with
this. At some point, why? I know I just bring things to such a simply idiotic level, but really, why didn't somebody just say, Bud Light or whoever it is, okay, they did it. Everybody did it. As far as I'm concerned, everybody did it. But starting today, nobody can do it.
Right.
That's it.
That's it, because the fact is Clemens is going to take this to his grave.
Because I don't give a crap about Roger Clemens' reputation as much as he gives a crap about my reputation. Go screw yourself, you stupid hillbilly. Go take your steroids and get your bad haircut and buy your shirts without collars and have Matlock represent you. And then let that other little rat guy go hide and steal syringes from people. Just all of you, just fess up to it, for God's sake.
Well, it's not going to happen with Clemens. No. And I can only – now, look, and I hate to say this, but you have to formulate your opinions based on the evidence you see.
Guilty.
And I think he's lying. I really
Guilty.
Do. And the similarities that I see a lot of similarities between Roger Clemens and Pete Rose. How long did it take Pete Rose to tell the powers that be that he bet on baseball?
Years.
It took him decades.
But even now when he does it, he still is in denial.
Right.
It still is, yeah, I did, but
yeah.
I only did it like when I bet on my guys.
Yeah, okay. And I think really, I heard someone else say that the competitive spirit that makes these guys so successful in their chosen field also allows them to talk themselves into whatever they want to do, and also let them dig their heels. And I wouldn't doubt, if Clemens is lying, that Clemens probably rationalizes it in his own mind by saying, you know something? Those guys are weak. I'm not weak. I'm not letting them get me. Right. And I really think that there's probably that mindset. Well, everything he looks to me about.
They get Clemens with this logic, though, where they say to him, okay, we have you on record now, and you agree that you say in 2005 – you didn't know anything at all about HGH. And he says, that's correct. And they say, in 2003, we all know, and everybody knows, that this guy over here, the rat, gave your wife the shot of HGH.
And you got mad at him for it.
And you said that it was giving her headaches and that it was causing her blood circulation to screw up. And you were very concerned and you were thinking about taking her to the doctor. You're telling us that when this was going on, you did no research at all into HGH.
Right.
And his answer was not misremember. Uh-huh. His answer was something along the lines of, well, yeah, do you remember that time I threw that pitch about 120 miles an hour? God, the bat was just standing on the guy's hand.
Change the subject.
I'm Roger.
You know,
they just nail him on stuff.
They nailed him on stuff, but he's going to walk, and it's going to be over. And he's never going to be called on it. I believe that. I think he walks away from this. I don't think there will be any criminal charges. I don't think they've got enough evidence to mount a case against him. I don't think you'll ever see him take a lie detector test or the McNamee guy take a lie detector test. Well, maybe McNamee later on. You've got a guy that actually doesn't have to. It's he said, he said. He's in the clear.
On Clemens' side.
Not the cream,
so to speak.
On Clemens' side, it's not a court of law.
Right.
It's not like we're watching a trial there today.
And in fairness to Clemens, if by some miracle he is telling the truth,
well,
his reputation is destroyed.
Well,
you will
bad.
Never think of Roger Clemens the same way.
Too and bad. He can sit around and burn $1,000 bills
well,
and worry about
but
it.
But you know what? I would say too bad if all of a sudden somebody could pull the big curtain. When you got two guys, one of them's definitely lying, you'll never really know what the deal is, especially because
except
with all the resources, with this congressional committee, they sat up there, and what they do in those hearings is they make their stupid-ass speeches, and it doesn't do any good.
Same as
nobody ever closed
No.
And here's what I mean.
And nobody ever consulted with the other congressman up
you
there.
Had Clemens sitting there. They danced around this. They danced around, do you think Andy Pettit is, you know, why didn't somebody just have the balls to say, either you're lying or Andy Pettit is lying. Say it. Don't say he misremembered. Either you're lying or he's lying, because what you're saying sounds like crap.
You know what the problem is? You've got this huge congressional subcommittee or committee. They have all of these resources. They have these congressional staffs. Mm-hmm. They have investigators.
Right.
But then, you know what the problem is? You leave it up to the congressman.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I guarantee you, there are 50 trial attorneys in the United States that would do one, you know, would do 10 times a better job than those congressmen that just want to hear themselves talk.
You know, now getting back to Clemens again. When I listen to his whole big speech when he starts about, he's standing like Superman, I care about kids. Steroids, HGH is bad. It's bad. It's bad. It would never, I care. Hold on a second, dude. Your wife took it.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's part of what's out there now.
Yes.
It's like, how come nobody's sitting up there on the other side with the alien guy and the fat guy, you know, the congressional types? How come nobody says this to him? Dude, do you think we're stupid? You know, there are such holes in the story. Just help us fill in these holes.
But you've got the congressional committee. And there's no coordination with line of questioning. You've got guys that are sitting up there, one after the other, and you pointed this out when we were talking this morning. One guy says one thing, then the other guy jumps onto a totally different story. Right. You got one guy going after Clemens, another guy going after McNamee.
No focus.
There is no focus. Like, there's no coordination. It is a waste of time and money.
Were you always thinking about the kids and the little leaguers when your wife was getting the HGH so that she'd have a nice body when she was in the swimsuit issue? I mean, that's really what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him. Simply ask him. Because they did go out of their way to jump on the other guy's case.
Because that was the star effort treatment. That one guy, I think it was Dan Burton, who was grilling McNamee.
Right.
And grilling McNamee in a completely unfair way. Because, you know, I think you got to have a little bit of decorum there when you have guys that are voluntarily coming before Congress. You know, you would never see Dan Burton do that to the big star. He's not going to do that to Roger.
I just don't believe you.
Well, you lie a lot, don't you? You know, come on. What are you accomplishing with that? The guy has come before Congress. He's been deposed, and he's admitted to when he didn't tell the truth before. And he also was under penalty of prosecution if he lied to the Mitchell Report people. So why are you jumping on his ass? I'll tell you why. Because you want the soundbite that's going to be in the newspaper, that's going to be on the TV news, that shows you supporting Roger Clemens for whatever reason. You know, and believe me, there's a reason. There is an ulterior motive there.
Always.
Guaranteed. And it might be as simple as the guy, you know, was in Dan Burton's office, and Clemens was like, you know, I got a little baseball. Here's a signed baseball. Or he's like, oh, man, fantastic. How many Cy Youngs did you win? Seven?
And incidentally, Your Honor, sir, whatever I call you, those big fake teeth you have certainly don't look like big fake teeth. Well, thank you, Roger the Dodger.
You know, I think Waxman, who is the chairman of the committee, seemed to do the best job when he got that whole nanny gate thing going, because that's when Clemens' attorneys jumped up.
Yep.
And the whole thing, has anybody brought up the fact that Jose Canseco has been a bit of a scumbag in this whole thing? I mean, everybody that knows him knows that.
Yeah, but here's what Jose Canseco is going
on. But he broke the lid open on the whole thing.
Yeah, he was right about a lot of stuff.
And he had a barbecue.
So he's kind of a douche. But on the other hand, he's a douche that has some good information.
But a good information, if Clemens slept over at his house, Canseco's also come out and said, you know, he's the worst kind of liar, talking about McNamee. Oof. And I guess Clemens and Canseco are still friends to this day.
Of course they are. They're butt buddies, Mike, because they inject each other.
It's amazing.
You know, then you get back to the way I've felt about this all along. Who cares? You know, if some dude wants to take the chances, he's going to grow a third eye when he's 70, so he can hit a ball farther now, and if it gives me some entertainment, do it. Roll the dice.
Well, I agree with you to a point. If you're going to do it, though, then you make it available to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're sneaking around the fact...
Apparently Major League Baseball did make it available to everybody.
And that one congressman that was talking about ownership, because apparently there was a little testimony about ownership saying they wanted to play it a certain way, and that opens up a, you know, because they're really kind of focusing on the big dumb players. Isn't that a little bit like when you're talking about indecency fines and you focus on the disc jockeys? You know, you're really just taking on the foot soldiers that are out there in the trenches every day.
Just the poor dumb pieces of meat that we want to see throw balls fast and run fast and kill each other out on the field. Not literally, of course, but you know what I mean.
He's a jock.
That's it. You know, hey, you need a pill to get up? Go ahead. Call Chris Berman. He's got some
do's.
Do-do-do-da-da-da.
Well, I don't think anything's going to come out of this. I don't think you're going to get any indictments, and it's going to go. It's eventually going to go away, and Clemens will always be known as the guy, and that's just the way it's going to be, the guy that didn't admit to it. And, you know, if really, because of all the information that I got, I got all this information, tried to digest it all, I know who I believe. I believe this guy, McNamee, is telling the truth about this incident, but I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't bet my kids' lives on it because there's just not enough information.
So then why don't
there.
We as a nation just say, okay, you know, I mean, we've just spent 30 minutes of our valuable radio time. We spent hours watching this today. Mm-hmm. Really, everybody, I think, feels the same way. Who gives a rat's ass? Seriously, Roger, go back to your hole. The rat guy, go back to your hole.
Well, you and I were watching it for the same reason because we thought there was that chance.
Oh,
that we get one of those true L.A. Law moments, you know, mm-hmm. where he'd break down and go, well, all right, I'm admitting it right now.
They set him up for it. God knows they set out the red carpet for the stupid guy.
You didn't see like moisture running down his leg at that point Congressman Waxman was setting that thing up. Didn't it sound like they were just getting ready? Yeah. And then it went into this. Mamby-pamby, we're all going to make our speeches, it was much ado about nothing.
That's
as
how
far
Congress
as
that, works, by
that
the way.
That is exactly how it works.
P-P-U.
Gee, no wonder they're so darn popular.
And so productive.
That's why you should have voted for Hillary, Mike.
Hey, sour grapes, Don.
No kidding. They don't taste good.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, Mike, you commented earlier on Senator Burton. Did he remind you of the lawyer and the godfather they got the war for that he stood up and...
You know, that is great. It's Congressman Burton, but he
right,
does.
Right.
You know, the guy that turns the gun on Michael Corleone.
Oh, right.
And then they take care of him in Las Vegas a little bit later. Yeah. There's something fishy about
hello.
That. That's perfect.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Oops. Goodbye.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, I just want to say with the whole wife thing, let's get real. Come on. He admitted his wife did it. How much... Father, is he going to try to stretch that he didn't?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
If only he was sitting in front of a jury of his peers. If only if he was sitting in front of Paula, Simon, and Randy.
Yeah.
Then we'd have some justice.
Yeah. Right? But the only question that comes to mind is if this just goes away, which I do believe it probably will.
Yeah.
There has been no evidence, and he has never admitted to it, so... He walks into the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. if all things are equal.
Ah, don't know, because that comes down to sports writers.
Oh, that's right. So there is the subjective factor.
Here's the thing that I can see playing out. Because he's going to walk away from this. You're right. And we're going to forget about it. Let's say we come to July and August. There's some team out there. I don't know. Maybe the Boston Red Sox.
Hey, Schilling's gone down for the season. They need a pitcher. They need a right arm.
They're in a tight battle with the Yankees. You know somebody's going to just throw... just a big Brinks truck full of money at him.
Well, you know, they tried that. The Yankees tried that last year. I would say if it had been a year earlier, you might be right. But I think maybe he's out of gas right now.
But after watching him, he's so indignant.
Oh, do you think he
–
are you saying
him,
they'd throw the money at him because he's probably bank based on the fact that he's been this indignant and that they'd like the draw?
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you're a team and you're struggling, it's the second half of the year, you're trying to make the playoffs.
Right.
You get Roger and he's like, I show them. Well, I tell you what, I'll pull this stadium all cross country with my teeth.
He comes out and they show him in his like baseball shorts and he's got the legs like that guy on the bike that makes the world go around. Have you seen that commercial?
I brought that one up to you and you hadn't seen
that one.
That's
the one I finally saw. That's what his legs look like. That is the grossest yet most fascinating commercial.
Isn't that good?
It's
I'm
fantastic.
Glad you finally saw it.
It's all over the place. Oh, my God. But that's what Clemens' arm looks like now, too.
Everybody wants to talk about this, but everyone must hold on, because before we even go to break, we've got to get some accounting for yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
What happened here yesterday, Washington, D.C., Baltimore,
yes.
All the way up to New York, here was the weather forecast. Mm-hmm. Rain. That was it.
Right.
You might remember yesterday when Joe was out, sweet doughy Joe was doing his lame bit at the polling place, and we yelled at him and we said, how could it take you a half hour to get there? And he said, it's slippery.
Yeah, he was right.
Well, we got out of here last night, and there was ice everywhere. Mm-hmm.
The forecast basically was temperatures will be, it might start out as a little sleet in the morning, and then it'll be, temperatures will be rising through the 40s. Through the 40s as the day goes
just
on.
Rain.
I know around the country everybody has weather problems. The problem here in D.C., and it's not the fault of the drivers. God knows there were 20, 30 car pileups last night.
People it's not the fault of the Department of Transportation either here.
It's the weather people.
The weather people effed it. And once again, when they really screw up, it just goes away.
Right.
You don't hear anybody being accountable for it.
So what happens was yesterday, seriously, at about 4 o'clock, I guess we got about a quarter of an inch of ice started to form over most of D.C. Mm-hmm. And since nobody had any warning,
none.
You had on our highways of the Beltway 20, 30 car pileups, people that were in their car literally.
Especially the overpasses where the roads freeze first.
Right. 7-8 hours of this. I got out of the car last night, turned on the weather radio. The first thing they said, the National Weather Service has just issued an ice storm warning.
Yeah, the full ice storm. You know, the accumulation up to, a quarter of an inch of ice on the trees, you know, road slick, wrecks everywhere. It was insane, and it was not even close to predicted by any of the meteorologists in this town. So, they were all saying it was going to rain. It was a forecast of rain.
The old rain
call
snow
Bernstein.
Line.
Yes, HB, time for a little accountability.
He's going to mention, I guarantee he'll mention the rain snow line.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter. They should have been aware of the... at least what the temperatures were going to be coming in.
This is a freaking ice storm.
Right. Yeah. A coating of ice.
No power. Trees down.
Mm-hmm. Still
hello.
Icy.
Howard.
Hey. Howard.
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 You sound kind of funky on that end.
I don't think it's our phone. I think it's yours, Howard. We'll call you back.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Is it mine?
No, it's mine. No, you're on a new bank, Mike, today. It's not you.
Okay, I wanted to make sure because I'm on a new microphone today.
It's not you.
Water in the lines. Or ice.
It's ice. There's been icing on the phone lines.
That's Topper's old phone.
This is for him.
It's like George's old phone.
Like George Michael's phone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that would be HB's fax machine.
Well, that was a good clear line, though.
Very clear.
Yeah.
Howard sounded like he was ready to go.
I think so.
He knows might have the BS ready for us already.
He knows what's coming.
Ready for it.
Give us your line of crap, little man.
Absolutely.
Hi, you've reached 2403.
He's scrappy.
Belly.
Sorry we can't take your call right now, but please leave a message after the beep, and we'll do our very best to get back to you as quickly as possible. Thanks. Have a great day.
At the tone. Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, you owe us, little man.
This is the ghost of Gordon Barnes. What are you doing to me?
What are you doing, Howard? We'll try to call you back in a second.
Thanks, Howie.
You owe everybody an apology.
Please,
yes.
Howard.
We'll call you right back. Bye-bye.
Howard.
Bye-bye, baby. Okay.
We can't keep him long. He has a barbecue to go to at Jose Canseco's house.
At whose house?
Jose Canseco.
He's
Howard and his nanny.
He's also hosting a post-testimony reception for Roger Clemens this afternoon. And Mr. McNamee.
Is it working?
There, that's a little better.
Hello, Howard.
Hey, how are you?
So, you really screwed it up yesterday, huh?
Boy, you guys are taking a lot of heat right now.
Well, we should take a little heat. I'll take that. I mean, we did have ice in the forecast north and west, and then the cold air held on. And, yeah, the folks down in Virginia got screwed.
How far north and west, Howard?
Well, we were talking basically upper Montgomery, perhaps, out toward western Fairfax County, and the cold air never budged.
Hey, dude, even when you say Montgomery County and Fairfax County, when you guys did your original forecast, you did your usual spin where you said Shenandoah Valley.
And wasn't the forecast about, not to nitpick here, Howard, but the forecast about northern Montgomery County and far western Fairfax County, wasn't that just supposed to be at the very beginning of this thing and then the temperatures everywhere were going to warm up into the 40s? Yeah. Not that I hang on every word you say.
You are correct, sir. We clearly expected the wedge of cold air to be eroded, but the surface low just didn't crank up early enough to our west. So the winds were like calm yesterday.
How do we fix this, Howard? How do we make this right?
What type of punishment do you propose?
I have a thought. I think we get a random person that was involved in some sort of fender bender yesterday, and Howard Bernstein pays for that person's car to be repaired.
I think that's a little too gentle. I think Howard ought to repair the car himself in his own garage at home.
In overalls.
Bernstein's garage.
Bernstein's garage.
Was it icy like a douchebag yesterday?
Right.
What, Howard?
Pat Goss will have nothing on me, right?
how is it?
Ooh. How?
How was it out at your house, Howard?
Probably had about a quarter to a third of an inch of ice up here in the great white north of Upper Montgomery.
Wow.
Good, you little monkey. I hope you don't have power.
Actually, my cable went out today.
Oh, good. You deserve it.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Do you have your internet on that cable, too?
Like the old days.
You ever watch that movie, The Weatherman, with Nicolas Cage?
Parts of it. Parts,
yeah.
Where they're throwing things at the guy.
That's what I'm hoping they do to you, Howard. So is this the biggest one you think you've missed in your history?
Biggest? I don't know if this was the biggest. This was clearly problematic yesterday afternoon and evening.
But I'd say it's pretty big. You're talking about a totally unpredicted ice storm that wiped out a major metropolitan city and the worst rush hour in 25 years. I'd have to say, what else could you have screwed up if you didn't screw up bigger than that?
I'd have to think about that one. But you know what's interesting? Where the advisory was issued by the Weather Service, the Maryland highway was out, and I didn't see down in Virginia, but this stuff came on quick, and you know, highways down there, that I guess they got caught with their pants down, too.
Everybody did. And I think, really, Howard, if you were going to take anybody in this scenario, you were going to take the commuters, you know, you were going to take VDOT or the Department of Transportation in Maryland, you know, or the meteorologist, who do you hold up for the primary people responsible for this amazing disaster yesterday?
Well, it's got to be the weather guys, because clearly the information didn't get down to the highway.
Roger Clemens could learn a few things from you, Howard.
Thank you. Thank you, Howard.
An honest man.
You're a good, honest man, Howard.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Somehow he doesn't feel like a winner in this.
Bye!
He's waiting for more, and that's all we wanted.
No, we want just a little bit of admission of responsibility.
Fair enough.
And I got one more.
Accountability is what we want.
I got one more nit to pick, and it's with Fox Channel 5. Mm-hmm. Last night they were doing something. It was akin to America's Funniest Home Videos, but it really was pissing me off. They had their camera set, like, at a corner downtown, like at 14th and Constitution.
No. Really?
And there's a spot where people were slipping.
Yeah.
And rather than tell people when you step off the curb, you're going to fall, they got videotape of about 15 different people
taking headers,
falling in the same spot.
And they didn't warn anybody. They're responsible for that.
It was, and the roads were dangerous, all right. In the 10 minutes before we went on the air, here are some of the people that we videotaped. And one guy goes out of frame, and they said, he landed on his head. He's okay, though.
Oh, that's good. We knew it was going to happen. There's got to be some sort of liability there, I would think.
I think they're just a classy news organization, and they're going to live on that.
Serving the public.
I was safe getting out of here last night because did you see the chiropractor posted signs?
No.
Yeah.
There is a wet piece of paper taped to the banister that said, caution, slippery steps.
Yeah, don't call the guys in to put any salt down or anything.
So I held on real tight and looked at the soggy piece of paper, and I said, thank Christ.
Well, all I know is it's trash day at my house today, and I hit the first step.
Oh, no.
And it was not forward, not back, but I almost did. I did a groin-pulling split like you would not believe. Was able to save it. I mean, I would have ripped every tendon in my knee, my groin, everywhere. It was horrible.
Don't land on your wallet. It hurts. I landed on my cell phone once. Ex-cell phone.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi there. I have another complaint for Howard.
Uh-oh. For Howard Bernstein?
He's not here, darling.
And the big Martucci. Channel 9 is the only station that doesn't accurately put what the schools say with their closings. Montgomery County opened 2 hours late, but they neglected.
You're retarded. They do is plaster on the screen constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Every school from here to
same as everybody
to the state of Maine. Every school if there's somebody spit on the road, they're closing school. They make the screen so it's the size of a dollar bill,
that's
and the
exactly
rest
right.
of the screen is big snowflakes with school stuff on the bottom.
Right. I saw a new one today. Channel 4 announced a closing of a massage academy.
Hey, again, serving the public.
Oh, that's terrible. This is the time of year you need massages because everybody's pulling muscles.
If you fall down on your wallet.
God. And I know we've said it before, but why is it? I understand the need to put the crawl on the bottom with the school information, but why does the entire left side of the screen have to be taken up with giant bad snowflakes?
Well, that's the whole reason.
They have to shrink the picture to make room for the banner across the bottom.
They shrink the picture, but they want to show you the snow because otherwise you don't know why they're canceling school.
Otherwise, it'd be stretchy.
But no, CNN runs a crawl on the bottom of the screen, and it's fine. ESPN runs a crawl on the bottom of the screen.
It's the same reason I said. They want people to understand why school's closed, and the average mind that watches television won't understand that unless they see the big giant snowflakes, and they have to be moving. Yeah. And they have to be moving vertically.
You know, I'd like to see Kim Martucci a little stretchy. That might help out.
Yeah, I think probably all you have to do is just, you know, go down there and ask her out.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, I will.
Big old Kim Martucci.
Kim Martucci.
Hey, you guys.
Don and Mike show. Hello. One call. We got to hit our first break. Hello there.
Hello.
Hey, you guys.
Kim Martucci.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, this is the 18-year-old virgin who voted for Huckabee.
No, Kelly Clarkson. Right. How's it going? How are your genitals?
Well, I've changed my ways.
Why?
How so?
I've quit school, I've renounced my religion, and I'm at Dennis Hoff's Bunny Ranch.
Good man.
Good for you.
Nice talking to you, dude.
Take care of yourself.
We've helped
All
you.
All right, take care.
Again.
Bye-bye, son.
Good luck with that infection.
See you later. We'll be right back. Or I could just hit this button and it would be easy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.